Remember, you're being recorded. We're still getting a few people joining us, and we'll start in just a moment. Let's see. Then also, wanted to make the announcement about Transform. T20, we're calling it because of Transform in 2020, and that is a leadership development track that is available to any pastor, leader in the church, leader of any kind, Christian business leader, whoever. Feel free to invite people. The applications are up on our newly designed website. Just went live almost 48 hours ago, not even quite. So I thank God for Cindy Bergenbach in the office, who manages those times that that things don't quite go according to plan. And whenever you develop a new website, there's bound to be some glitches. But Cindy worked with Ethan, our developer, got those going right away. And so the applications for T20 are online. And what that is, basically, you walk through the Freedom in Christ course, the Grace course, and Freed to Lead with the Steps to Freedom, the Grace steps, and the Freed to Lead steps. The Steps to Freedom for Leaders. After each one of those, we meet weekly in hubs and do the homework on our own. The discussion is so rich. We take off our leadership hat and say, God, how do you want to speak to my heart? What do you want to do in me? How do you want to ground me more fully on Christ so that I can lead in the way you want me to lead? So we highly recommend Transform for any leader. And it is a great program. It's about $350 for a 10-month journey, and so really a good deal for that. So let's see. Without further ado, let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into our devotional before we get to Chris. Father, we are so grateful for technology that allows us, the family of God, to meet across the miles. Through this technology, we thank you for the bond of Christ that unites us so much more closely than just being able to see each other on screen. Lord, we're grateful that we are one in Christ, and that, Lord, you've called us to preserve the unity and by your strength to speak peace into this world. God, we pray you'll guide and direct our time. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray protection over the technology. Pray that this will work, that people will be able to hear clearly, that, Lord, even more so, by your Spirit, you would be at work in our hearts and minds, conforming us to the image of Christ as we talk with one another. Look to your word and see how we can reach the next generation. We pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, in terms of our scripture tonight, I'm going to bounce from a couple different ones, but I wanted to start in Judges chapter 2. There's one verse in there that I've always found grievous, and that is verse 10. Of course, we know that Joshua has led the people into the promised land. We have him giving the leadership over to the other leaders and dispersing the property into the family units. But then this verse in chapter 2, verse 10, he says that a whole generation was gathered to their ancestors, and after them another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works he had done for Israel. Another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or what he had done for Israel. And we haven't been gathered to our forefathers yet, as that generation had. And so the Lord has left us here and has a purpose for us. Even though it says that generation had served the Lord, they had followed the Lord into the promised land. They had served him. They had cast out the people who were worshiping idols, and they had claimed that territory for God, but they didn't communicate it to the next generation. Now, a couple considerations. Number one, I love Philippians 1:6, and it's not just for us as individuals, but for us as the church. You know, Jesus promised he would build his church, and nothing, the gates of hell would not prevail against it. But Paul said in Philippians the Lord is faithful to complete what he started, right? Even when Elijah was running scared, he said, no, you're not the only one. I've got 7,000 faithful servants in Israel. The Lord is faithful to communicate to the next generation and to preserve his body here on earth. We do have a role in that though, right? We've been commanded not just to serve and obey God, but to communicate this to our children and in such a way that they pass it down to their children. Moses actually said, and this was just a few years prior to that Joshua 2 passage, when he was giving his final speech to Israel as they finished up their 40 years in the desert. Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You know, we've experienced Christ transforming us through this ministry. And it's all throughout our lives. And when we experience his transformation, it's easy then to talk about it with our children and our children's children from a heart that's been transformed. Over this past week and a half, I've had the joy of meeting with or talking to three different teenagers, one by text, a running buddy of mine whose 14-year-old just had a lot of questions. He gave her my number and she just started texting, and I referred her to FIC for young people, and she wrote this: this is so cool. I just learned that I'm a spirit. That's crazy, you know, with how many of her many whys. But then she proceeded to engage in conversation and ask some questions like this: did God give Adam and Eve a second chance? How about this one? How did Jesus know he was the Messiah? Or doesn't eternal life, where'd that one go? Doesn't eternal life mean something evil? Because usually eternal life is a bad thing. And I actually wrote back, I'm like, how do I answer this, right? Lord, help me, right? Thankfully, he gives wisdom to those who ask. I said, where do you think you got that idea? And so she was able to share and say, and I was able to say, well, that's not what the Lord teaches us in Scripture. And she said, if we maybe tell a lie, and she said, after all, everyone slips up, said, would we have to start all over again? How do we tell him we're sorry? So here's an unbeliever who's already knowing she's being drawn by the Lord and wondering how she tells him we're sorry. She's talking about, how do I confess and repent? We have a lot to say about how to confess and repent, right? We know how to do that. Our tools teach people to do that. Nobody taught me to do that growing up. It was through the steps to freedom and the materials that I studied in Victory Over the Darkness and the Bondage Breaker that taught me to confess, to repent, and to live by faith. A 15-year-old young lady I met with her and her parents had been really wrestling with anxiety. And so we started talking about, once we got through some of her questions, some of her struggles, we started talking about the concept of her identity, her safety, security, significance, her acceptance being in Christ because of what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and his lordship. And to see the smile on her face when her heart connected with the Word of God. And when she read through that Who I Am list and saw that I'm loved, I'm adopted, I'm redeemed and forgiven, I'm chosen, just the brightness on her face, it chokes me up even now. I love it, because that's the difference that the whole gospel can make in a 15-year-old who is wrestling through this world, trying to find significance and identity. Tim Keller puts it brilliantly, as he says so many things brilliantly. He said, the Christian faith is the only faith in the world in which our identity is received, not achieved, right? Our identity is received, not achieved. We don't get to earn it. We don't get to prove it. We just get to live from that place of acceptance, security, and significance by faith in Christ. And I wrote to the mom and dad and young lady today, and she wrote back, she sent me her Stronghold Buster, and it's powerful. And she said, I already feel like the burden has been lifted off my shoulders. God accepts me and made me just the way he wants me. And in Christ, I'm complete. What a powerful tool we have. And then I met with a 16-year-old whose parents informed me that he had just accepted Christ a few weeks ago, grew up in the church at a Christian school around gospel, God-loving people all the time. Just accepted Christ because he couldn't overcome a struggle that he was facing. And when we started to talk about the real tools to overcome sin and Satan's lies and to not be isolated, but to be in fellowship with God and one another, oh, he just looked so relieved. And she wrote to me after, the mom wrote to me afterward, I cannot thank God enough for the visit today. This is the first time I have seen him with hope. Thank you again. Our teenagers are dying to be accepted, to be secure, to be significant. And we have that message through freedom in Christ. Or even just this past Sunday, when after church and the pastor had preached on Psalm 133, verse 1, where it says it is good and fitting, it is good and pleasant that brothers dwell together in unity. We had a great conversation with our sons, Elijah and Jacob, at 17 and 15 years old, addressing the injustice of George Floyd's murder, addressing the violence and the protests that have ensued. I was just talking to Daryl Fitzgerald earlier. Thank you, Daryl. Good to see you and Stephanie on here tonight, about how we don't have all the answers, but we do have answers to the fear and anger that feed the cycle. And we can engage in conversation. And we are talking about how do we, as Freedom in Christ leaders, speak into the situation in our world today. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of who he is and what he has done, have the answers for this hurting world today. So we have an incredible opportunity and a tremendous responsibility to communicate to the next generation. I just want to read one more brief scripture and then get on to our time with Chris. You didn't come here tonight to see me, but Colossians chapter 1, Paul says this. He says, we proclaim him, Jesus, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And he says, I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. Right? And that word proclaim, we proclaim him. That means to speak it out loud. We need to speak out loud about our faith. And he says, Paul says, I do that strenuously. I work hard at it. And he says, but he also says, it's the power of God, the dynamite power of God, the strength of God working in us and through us. And we know that we can't do it on our own, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And you know what? Those five teens that I've had the conversations with in the last couple of weeks, I'm responsible for my boys as their dad, right? But I can't dictate every decision they're going to make, nor do I want to. I can't guarantee the outcome, but I can be faithful to do what God has called me to do in the moment. You can be faithful to do what God calls you to in the moment when he gives you the opportunity to speak into the lives of teens. I'm going to ask, and again, we do that by his wisdom and by his power. And let's not forget that. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I have to remind myself of that over and over again. But when we're relying on him, he shows up in big ways. I'm going to ask Sue Jantz to pray for us, to pray for the rest of our time together, and to pray for the impact of this meeting on the next generation and on our country. Sue, go ahead and unmute yourself and pray. Sue is our National Director of Prayer. Thank you for serving, Sue.
Oh, Lord, we are so in need of you tonight. We are so in need of you every moment of every day. And so we come to you humbly and we ask that you would lead this time by your Spirit. We pray for our nation. We pray that you would breathe life into it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would breathe the fiery love of God into it. We pray the river of life into our ministry, and we ask that you would multiply it, even by what we do tonight. Give Chris your words now. Give him your clarity and your boldness. Let our hearts be ready to hear. And we promise to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight I'm thrilled to introduce to you Chris Campbell. He's our youth specialist, has a website and a ministry called Generation Freedom. Chris is, I believe he was an engineer and then a pastor. He now serves as a therapist. He works part-time with us as field staff with Freedom in Christ USA. He works with child protection agencies in West Virginia and Virginia, interacts with the government officials in those states. He has more ministry than I can list. So it's a thrill to introduce him tonight. We also want to say that that Chris has videotaped and written a workbook that is being edited. We're nearing the final stages. Thank you, Russ French, one of our board members, George Malo, a great friend of our ministry, for working diligently many hours on getting those edited and finalized. They'll be available in a few weeks. A few weeks, we're hoping. I don't want to make you guys sweat, but after a couple weeks, the free versions of the unedited videos will be taken down, and we'll be resorting to the fully edited, full courses, 301, 302, that talk about who is Generation Z, who are our teens, what are some characteristics about them, how do we best work with them, communicate to them, and how does Freedom in Christ speak into that? Those courses will be available at an introductory price for both of them at $50 for all the videos, the two workbooks, and a copy of the Steps to Freedom for Young Adults. Chris is also going to be working on a Steps to Freedom for Teenagers, but the Young Adults one is what we refer to in the videos. And so that one for teenagers will be released sometime, hopefully in the next few months as well. So watch for that. We'll send you emails when all that becomes available. After the introductory rate, those will go up to $40 per course. So it's worth getting that when those are released in the next few weeks or month and a half or so. So Chris, without further ado, I want to let you go ahead and introduce yourself, your ministry, the resource that you've developed, and talk to people about working with teenagers. Go ahead, Chris. Unmute yourself.
Dan started out by saying, Chris is going to talk for a minute. I've never talked for a minute in my life.
My bad.
But hey, I'm really excited to be with all of you tonight. And, you know, I appreciate the excitement level just as I was hearing. You know, it was like a Walton's reunion as everybody was sort of logging on here and things, because I think there's a bit of Zoom burnout for a lot of us that's had to be operating in this virtual mode for a while. But you know, I really appreciate the time to come and just give a few comments to sort of whet your appetite for something that I trust and pray is going to be just really beneficial for you and for many people, you know, as we look to, again, try to figure out what are creative ways that we can use the message of freedom in Christ in a very equipping way and speak to the heart of the issues for an emerging generation. So, just as a really brief introduction, I did start off as an engineer and was at the time my wife and I were both professionals, and we went to church right on the edge of some pretty serious housing projects, and we had a gymnasium that was a part of this multi-million dollar facility that was just kept for church people, and we couldn't understand. So we cut our teeth by doing everything creative that we could. This would have been back in the early 90s with a gymnasium that was just a clean, safe place for kids to come into and work with them relationally to find Jesus. Probably about 1994, I was in seminary, and that's when I was first introduced to Freedom in Christ Ministry through a spiritual counseling and warfare class I had that required reading. Part of that was Victory Over the Darkness and The Bondage Breaker, and found my personal freedom in that. My wife found her personal freedom in that, and it began to just really revolutionize the way that we interacted with young people. And we were sorting through a bunch of curriculum at that time, which is not unlike today, that's very steeped in behavior modification. If you will learn certain disciplines, if you will behave a certain way, if you will into the style of Christianity, then you will gain God's favor and your life will straighten up. And of course, my spiritual practice never worked that way. And for us to try to teach that was a mess. And so we reached out. That was back before the internet or email. And I came across just a 1-800 number that put me in touch with Freedom in Christ Ministries in California. Got a live person on the phone who put me in touch with Dave Park. And from that point forward, Freedom in Christ Ministry has just really been a primary mentor in my life. And the early days of curriculum for teenagers, that was sort of spearheaded by Dave Park and Rich Miller up till recently. He was the president of FICM USA. And we saw a lot of good fruit from that old curriculum that you could cut and paste and Xerox and make all kinds of creative, alternatives with. But over time, you know, youth ministry typically has a shelf life of about 18 months. And so, you're put into a space to where you've got to basically recreate a timeless message, but have your finger on the pulse of what's important to teenagers. And over the course of time, about 2008, there was another really great infusion of youth ministry resource into the ministry. Of course, we're talking about Freedom in Christ Ministries UK as they produce Freedom in Christ for young people. We had initially a lot of trouble with that as we were trying to collaborate back in the day. Certain DVD burning in, as you would print or burn a DVD copy in the UK and Europe, they wouldn't play on DVD players here in the United States. and then there were a bit of a tug of war between publishing companies and so forth. But once we finally got that ironed out, we saw a lot of good use with that content and that material. I have had since that time just a wonderful relationship with youth specialists in the UK, throughout Europe, Canada, and so forth. But as time has progressed, we've seen a change, not just in youth culture here in the Western world, but also just, I believe, in the way that the church approaches or doesn't approach youth ministry. I'll give you some very strong opinions. All right, if it's from the Bible, I will tell you, thus saith the Lord. if it has anything to do with my background and licensing and counseling, I'll tell you that. But I'm about to serve up some opinions from Chris, and that is, I believe that there's been such a shift, not just in what we would think is 21st century thinking, but the ways that people relate to each other, especially young people, and how they see the world, that once upon a time, if you had the capacity to have a full service church with an outstanding youth program and a strong youth pastor leader, you could really get some traction as far as evangelism and discipleship if you could infuse that with the basics of, you know, what Dan's already touched on, what we all believe in, identity in Christ, helping young people walk in freedom in Christ, you create a community, a faith community of young people that would naturally begin to reproduce themselves. I see few and far between the type of churches that can sustain what was once, you know, the stereotypical or the traditional template for youth ministry back in the glory days, maybe in the 90s or at the turn of the 21st century. And so it's left a lot of people sort of scratching their heads going, you know, we've got the best facility, we've got the best youth pastor, but it just seems like we're really having a hard time attracting young people, or the young people we attract, we're ending up entertaining and so forth. And which is not to say that all that any traditional youth ministry is now not successful. I'm not saying that at all. But what we've seen, I think, over the last 10 years is a new emerging need that that if we pay attention to as Christians, we can speak to this need in a way and frame the message of freedom, the gospel of Christ, in a way that captures the hearts and imaginations of young people. One out of every five teenagers will be diagnosed with a mental health condition between the ages of 12 and 18. This generation, as you guys know, there's never been a more medicated generation. There's never been a generation that's more acutely aware of depression or anxiety or phobias. Personally, where I live now and work and minister, I live in a place where we lead the nation in the most displaced kids per capita. So we've got disjointed kids living in strangers' homes, and there's just a ton of uncertainty. And I began to notice as I began to shift out of, you know, once upon a time I was a youth pastor, family ministry guy, I was a lead pastor at a church outside of D.C., and as God was calling me to shift my attention into professional counseling, I really was kicking and screaming over that, because I'm like, I'm just starting to figure this pastoring thing out. I'm making less of a mess than I ever have in my life, and you're calling me into counseling. And over time, I've begun to see that that when we have a message of hope that speaks to a deep need that Dan's already talked to, if you step into the right space with that, with the right tools to help young people, they will beat a pathway to your door, and the word will begin to spread. And so when we were talking about, okay, what does youth ministry look like, you know, moving forward? And for Freedom in Christ Ministries, it's been 2008 or 2009, let's say, since we've really been able to publish something new and you know, up to speed in terms of youth ministry curriculum or resources. Rich Miller and I had just finished the book Undaunted. That's probably 2017. And Rich said, do you think it's time to think about redoing the two courses that were previously offered through CFM University? These were two youth ministry courses, 301, 302. And I said, yes, but I don't know that specific venue or format fits, you know, the type of person that we need to attract with that. Because by 2017, we had made several attempts to create a new curriculum. We'd worked in tandem with Freedom in Christ youth specialists from the UK, had spent time together collaborating, and we just could not get that curriculum off the ground. And the idea sort of hit us, well, speaking for Freedom in Christ USA, we've made an intentional shift to be an equipping ministry. So why not equip people who are intentionally or intentionally on the front lines with youth culture to have the right tools, the right vernacular, the right understanding of worldview, and then give them exactly what they need to help lead young people to freedom in Christ? And so throughout 2018, we started to sort of toy around with how can we tweak the online curriculum that we had used before with CFM University. And coming into 2019, we made plans to initiate and to launch this reformat, this redo. And so what we've come up with is same two basic course concepts. The first one would be Leading Teens to Freedom in Christ. That centers on, you know, how do you take a young person, a teenager, through the steps to freedom. That's a little different than adults, especially if you've got a 14-year-old with ADHD in the room, you know, or you're talking to a kid who has, you know, in some of our contexts with some of the rescue organizations we work with domestic sex trade, rescue trafficking and so forth, the foster care. Okay, what are some things that we need to know, you know, to help young people not just understand that God loves them, to warm up to the idea of God's grace extended towards them, and now help them to walk through resolving these interpersonal and spiritual conflicts. And so we sort of reverse order it. I know a lot of times we lead with victory over the darkness, the principles of identity, and then we go into the bondage breaker. But for the equipping purposes of this of these new courses, we sort of flip the script and starting with, how do you speak to a generation in crisis? And oftentimes, it's a generation of young people who have a church affiliation and they've got some sort of idea or some sort of concept of God. And so CFM 301 is really a course. I hate to call it that because it's not a course in the truest sense of you're ingesting material and information, you're tested on that and so forth, but it's really equipping, storytelling, information. We try to create a manual that's interactive to where we start off with a high altitude view of what we're calling Generation Z. These are emerging young adults and teenagers, and we sort of come down into their world where we're presenting concepts that quite frankly, are really foreign to a Gen Xer, and even different than a millennial. And for some of us that are boomers, even it's just like another planet. And we try to break that down and put those concepts on the lowest shelf so that there's a beginning point of dialogue and understanding. And then we go in through the principles that we're all familiar with as far as a freedom appointment. What does that look like, you know, beforehand, during, and the follow-up, and so forth? Each one of our equipping segments have an introduction, where that's the video piece of it, and we sort of prime you to the workbook interaction that you're going to have. Try to keep that interesting with some good storytelling. Then the workbook itself presents the material, gives you some things to think about and reflect upon. And then at the end of that, we sort of bookend that with what we call an outro, or here's some things to keep your eye on moving forward. We did a bit of testing along the way. A lot of this material was really accumulated from numerous workshops that we would do, different practicums and so forth. A lot of the content that is generated with what is now CFM 301 was really first piloted at a conference that Dr. Neil Anderson did at the Cove several years ago, Billy Graham's place down in North Carolina, to where there was an optional track for people who were interested in youth ministry and youth workers and so forth. And so we got a tremendous response, to how do we create a freedom appointment for young people. Got a lot of good feedback there. And so a lot of the collaboration from that goes to really rethinking how do we create something that's going to be very user-friendly. And, the thing with both 301 and 302 that I'll tell you about here in a second is we want to make it so that it's easy to step into, it's easy to grab information that you need quickly, and it's just as easy to go further into it if that's what you want. A lot of younger generation people, when I was growing up, I'm that old guy now, so I'll tell all kinds of old guy stories. But if you're any, I hit 52 here in a few weeks, and if you're anywhere near my age, you remember that, like, if you had a favorite band, right? Now I'm not an 8-track guy, right? But cassettes and CDs, right? If you had a favorite band, like, you had to pay really close attention to the radio stations to even know when there was going to be a new album released. And then you flocked, you know, to the record store to grab that album. And what was on there is what you got. Like, what they turned out on that album, that was it. But today we live in an era where you subscribe to a music service, you create your own playlist, you edit what you like or don't like out of the bands, you create your own genres, you mix and play different artists and so forth. And so to create something that's going to be relevant for a lot of people who are on the front lines currently with youth ministry, we just need something that's very user-friendly and you can step into and sort of create your own playlist. You know, you're able to drop into the manual or any sort of interactive video. It's going to give you the concepts that you need to step out of that and feel a little more equipped, have a little better understanding for maybe the specific issue that you're dealing with, whether it's a youth leader, youth pastor situation, or the story that Dan was telling initially. And so that's sort of the approach that we've taken to it. 302 then is what we traditionally called and have called identity-based spiritual formation, because 10 years ago that was really trendy. Because nobody's doing discipleship. That's like old school, man. That's 20th century. But spiritual formation, but really we're talking about the essence of discipleship, helping people understand, helping young people understand, how do I follow Christ? Not how do I act like a Christian, but how do I have a living and active relationship with the God of the universe through his Savior, Jesus Christ, empowered by his Holy Spirit. And again, we put together it's basically a four-part, again, equipping series again. We've traditionally called these modules, but as you step into it, it's another review of the generation that we're currently dealing with. And then we go into, biblically speaking, what are the indicators, what are the metrics of a maturing Christian? Whether they're 60 years old or 16-year-olds, what are the things that we expect to see alive and active and growing, intuitively, because the Holy Spirit has the freedom to reign in a young person's heart. And so we walk through that with several interesting ways that we try to frame that. With what we talk about is the grid of interpretation and the mindset of 21st century young people that sort of we've seen grow through the first 20 years here as a form of what we would call moralistic therapeutic deism is what they tend to practice. And then we talk about, okay, well, how do we meet a young person in the space that they are in their belief system, and then lovingly deconstruct that belief system down to the foundation of who they are in Christ. And then from that point, how do we build on that foundation in a way that's not behavior based, but in a way that is an expression of gratitude and to walk in harmony with the Holy Spirit. We finish up this particular module, particular equipping 302 course within talking about, okay, well, how do you apply this if you're a mental health specialist? How do you apply this if you're a youth pastor? How do you apply this if you're just a grandparent that has influence in your grandchildren and so forth? And so we help people have sort of an open-ended start at a strategy that is biblical. It's built on freedom in Christ precepts, but it allows the freedom for the practicer to really develop the principles that fit their context, and then we help them get organized in a process that they can reiterate, they can use again and again and again in a variety of settings with young people. And as Dan said, the idea is, let's make this interactive. Let's bookend, the main content of the PDF, that people will be using as sort of a workbook, you know, let's have an introduction to that. Let's have an outro to each of those. And then at the end of it, if, you know, I suspect that some people will come through and sort of cherry pick, you know, what they need at the time. They'll come back and sort of select, you know, from the menu again. Some people will digest all of it and put it into practice. But I suspect that there's some of us here tonight that your heart beats a little faster at the idea of having, you know, tools that you can trust with helping young people not only find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but to walk in freedom and then to grow victoriously in that. And so as a follow-up for that, you know, what we want to offer, at least what we're brainstorming now, are these regional you know, gatherings to where people who've been through both 301 and 302 can now come together, and we're just going to have a really lively time together, you know, figuring out, okay, how do we tie this together in a way that empowers every person there in attendance to now, you know, have the certification of being a Freedom in Christ youth specialist. That certification and $1.50 will buy you a cup of Starbucks coffee. So there's nothing magic about the certification in and of itself. But what it does is it helps us as a network understand who's been through the process, who's got the buy-in, and when there's somebody on the West Coast who needs a hand, you know, with a team that's asking questions that they're not quite sure of, or they've had an adult experience that they've never heard of before, there's a youth specialist within reach out there that can come alongside and help. And again, it's just, it's much, much more of an equipping and a complementary type of a strategy and a resource that we've developed here. So I'm going to push pause and probably mute myself here for a second. Dan, I'll let you chime back in. And anything before the breakout groups that we need to elaborate on, just let me know, okay?
Yeah, I think what we'll do is we will put people into breakout rooms. And so I'm going to throw you into random breakout rooms. I've put some questions in the chat for you. Introduce yourselves to one another. You know, your name, where do you live? And then there's a few questions. I'll make that, let's see, it's 7:51, so I'll make that about 14 minutes you'll have to discuss. And then that will kick you back into the main session at the end of that time. We'll see you in a little bit. Did you guys not get put in a room? There you go. You should get put in a room. Hello.
Howdy.
How are you, Miss Mary?
I'm so good. Really am.
Good. I thought about wearing our We Are Family shirt.
We Are Family. That'd be cool.
From you guys. I love wearing that one. Oh. Hey, let me put you in a discussion room so that you can chat with people. If I can figure out how to do this. Let's see. Mary Chester.
The breakout rooms?
You see, yeah.
Yeah. And then stick me in a room.
Yep. How do I do this? Of course, my computer is not helping me out here. There we go.
It'll happen.
Yeah. So do you have a, let's see. There we go. Should give you an option to join room 14 or so. See that?
Wow. Pick one for me. I don't care. We got rooms. It says I've been assigned to 14. I'm going to hit join breakout room. See you later.
Love you.
Yes.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, Dan.
Just jumping. Hi, good to see you guys. Just jumping in to make sure instructions were clear and that you're all good.
Yes.
I think so.
We're good.
Okay.
Wonderful. Okay. In a few minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Oh yeah, he just took 3 months and surfed around the world. So
that's great. What's his name?
He's an Caleb King.
Caleb King. Okay.
He's an engineer by profession. So
I like him even more. I'm an engineer too. So
oh okay. Oh, I love her. Yeah, that's great. I'll tell him about you.
Great. Thank you.
Good evening, guys. Just wanted to say hi and
hi, Dan.
Hey, and just make sure you guys got the chat questions on the right and you're all set. Looks like you're doing great. Danny, congratulations, by the way, this week preaching and being installed as an associate pastor, I believe I heard. So congrats. Love you all. So good to see you. Some just a couple miles away and others across others across the continent who played wonderful host to me. Thank you, John. Good to see you, Judy. All righty, see you guys.
Yes,
I am.
And Sharon, I don't know if we've ever met, but
no, nobody's ever met me. I am a baby to Freedom in Christ Ministry. Not a baby, certainly.
Well, wonderful. These are great people to introduce you to the ministry. So,
where are you from, Sharon? Is it Sharon?
I am from.
Christ Ministry a few months ago, because there's a need of this ministry in China. And so I joined, you know, the study, you know, I want to be trained. And we're supposed to be in China now, but because of the virus, Chinese have closed their borders to foreigners. So we are still waiting for the border to be open and then we can go back to China.
Are you seeing a lot of Chinese Christians becoming free in Christ?
I've not started the ministry yet. that's where I'm get trained and
man.
Hello, Veronica.
I was trying to X out of the message to come back into the main session, and I got out of my session by accident. I don't know.
I know. I think I hit a wrong button, and I may have shut people out too quickly. But hi, Kristen. No.
Hi.
I did it to myself.
So good to see you.
Thank you. I told everybody you caught me, roped me in.
Hey, we were in trouble. We weren't going to leave. Loretta, here. Nice to see you.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, who was that?
Get over there.
That was Paul.
Oh, okay. Hello. Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, hi.
Kristen, so
good to see you.
Like a family reunion.
Oh, good to see you all. Oh, this is wonderful.
Oh, hey, Mary.
You don't look like a Stephanie to me. Stephanie Fitzgerald.
You know, I'm done.
On her computer, aren't you, Mary?
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Ryan. I haven't met you, Ryan. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Danny. Chris, are you back on with us? Chris Campbell, are you back on with us?
Terry, I was looking for you, Terry Rouse.
Hey, Terry.
Terry.
Hey,
Terry.
Chris.
Hi, Judy's.
Hi. Like family reunion.
Hey, Judy.
Hey, hi.
Oh, that's Terry. Good.
Blessings to everybody.
Yes.
Everybody go ahead and...
For Mr. French.
You know, I hate to break up the family reunion, but my wife has a favorite button. She's a second grade teacher, and she says, "I love the mute all button." I just muted you just out of. I love the playback and forth, though. It's awesome that we are just like a family. That's one of the things I love about Freedom in Christ. Right, we're one in Christ. Wherever we go, we just connect, get great relationships. I wanted to get back to Chris's time with us, do some questions and answers. There's one chat question already. Chris, can you share the Freedom in Christ website with us? And I see, yeah, you're unmuted, right? So what's the website?
The generationfreedom.org. But the main pathway to the resources that we're developing is actually through FICM.org. And, you know, I don't know if everybody's been able to see the video promo that we did. That was just sort of a rough release that gives you just sort of snapshots of some of the sessions, you know, the way we decided to shoot that. It was, we're not on a platform like a TED Talker per se, but it is very engaging. It's up close if you're familiar with TED Talks and things. So, did I give the right address there, Dan? I know there's,
I think so. Yeah. Generationfreedom.org.
Yeah. But again, the new content and how they can find the promo stuff is actually routed through what you guys are doing there in the home office.
Yep. Yeah. So that's where they'll be able to access the materials.
Yeah.
And the age group we're talking about is primarily teenagers, right?
Say that again.
The age group we're discussing is primarily teenagers.
Yes, but the resource is not for teenagers. And I can't emphasize that enough. Like if you come to the generationfreedom.org website, first of all, forgive me, we're in the middle of revamping that, so you're going to see something a little old school. But this resource, again, is for equipping people who will be leading young people, you know, to freedom in Christ. And I really, you know, just real quick, you know, with that, because it sort of sounded like I was poo-pooing on youth ministry and so forth. That's not it at all. But the idea is, even in the events that's transpired over the last several days, if we had a generation of passionate young people who have the social media platform to be influencers, right? And we get them all pulling in the same direction with the message of the gospel. Think about the impact of that. And so the idea is, who can we equip to be the people who come in and to help frame the worldview of young people who already have the platform that we don't to be influencers? So does that, I think I just jumped ahead of us there, Dan, but I wanted to say that just as a point of clarity.
Okay, yep. And
Dan, excuse me, the question might have been aimed at where that current rough free content is. And that isn't, that's a different website than the one that's been discussed. If George Malo is on still, he can give us that website.
Well, and we have, we can make that available through the office. We'll be making that available for just the next 2 weeks, so you can get kind of a taste of what that's like. You can email info@ficm.org and check out the video. Moro has also posted a couple YouTube videos with some of the, Moro, I believe, some of the youth videos that we've seen or that we've made available. So we'll get that. The promo video is getting finished up soon. That will be on our website. That'll be pretty clear. As we mentioned, that's just been redone, so it's much easier to navigate, much more friendly. Again, this is being recorded. We'll send it out so you can share it with your youth director or youth pastor. And so, yeah, that promo video would be a good introduction to what we're talking about, to share with people, to give an overview of at least a taste of what it covers. So if you have any other questions, of course, you can submit those through the chat. Chris, question for you, what would you say are one or two of the key points of spiritual understanding that Freedom in Christ Ministry has to offer teens today?
I think I even heard it in some of the chat before this meeting started, and you definitely brought it up too as well. I mean, where else more than in the life phase of adolescence is a person trying to define themselves? And so they will try on, you know, different identities that reflect, you know, the chances that they're going to receive the most acceptance, the most likes, the most significance, and so forth. And so, you know, I believe number one is helping a young person come to an understanding of where does identity come from. And then the second thing that I'm just seeing a lot of results in is, you know, this is a generation that there is no stigma regarding mental health. They talk about it all the time. They're concerned with it all the time. They've picked out their therapy pets by the time they're 14 years old. You know, they have their apps. They have their special, IEPs in the classroom that allow them to have a sanity break and to step outside and those sort of things. And so that's one thing that I would just really say, hey, as much as we can, you know, really frame, you know, the language that we speak to a younger tribe in those sort of terms, I think it will really attract their attention.
Hmm. What are you seeing in terms of teenagers' experimentation with spiritual reality?
That's a good question. Because I do see some kids that are so wounded, or they're so starved for affection, or they just want some sort of functional savior. You know, if you're familiar with The Bondage Breaker, there's a chapter in there on the lure of knowledge and power, and how, you know, that can be definitely, you know, a funnel, you know, that brings people into bondage. But I tell a story in one of the modules in the new resource where I'm counseling a middle school boy. He's 13, 14 years old. His mom is an award-winning, state-recognized teacher. and this kid is flunking out of school, and she is irate because her reputation is on the line, and he is just, no, there's been no sign of any sort of oppositional defiance or anything, but they're bringing him to me because they put him on ADHD medication, and they just, you know, bring him to the counselor to fix him. And probably about four sessions in, he's so upset about, you know, continually getting every privilege taken from him because he won't do his homework, he won't do his grades. Previous to this, he was an A student. And in an unguarded moment in this session, he leans back in the chair he's sitting in. He says, "I don't understand what's the point of any of this." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "School. I don't understand what the point of any of this is." And I said, "You don't understand why you need an education?" And the kid reaches into his back pocket and says, "Yeah, if I want to know something, I just find it." And I didn't know what to say because the light bulb goes off with me that it's like the new god of this world is artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. That is who they will put their faith in. And artificial intelligence promises them all kinds of goodies, right? And so, you know, whereas back in the day, we link to the vices, you know, that lead to all kinds of moral decay and bad choices and all this stuff. But I think we're living in a time where we're really, you know, kids that are growing up very confused and disoriented, distorted, discouraged, deceived. They want a functional savior, and they're bowing to the god of artificial intelligence. And I will stop just short of going into eschatology on that. but that's my opinion on that.
Well, and I mentioned my wife is a second grade teacher, and so she's been over the last couple months meeting with second graders in meetings like this. Imagine that. Yeah. And she told her students, she said, "Go ahead and turn to Proverbs for our reading for the day." And one little boy goes, Miss Stu, just a second. And she said, "Yes, Jordan, go ahead." And he walks across the room and you hear him say, "Alexa, is Proverbs in the Old Testament or the New Testament?" And so she gave him the right answer. He came back, said, "Okay, Mrs. Stu, I'm ready." And she said, "Jordan, you could have asked me that. I'm right here." And he said, "Oh no, that was easier."
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that is a great reality. You know, one of the getting a couple other questions in here. I'll read through those in a moment. But, you know, one of the things I didn't share about you, Chris, is that you're a dad and that you have some teenagers. You and your wife, how long have you been married? Putting you on the spot.
28 years. And I have a 21-year-old and an 18-year-old. So I'm almost no teenagers.
All right. So you're on that bottom end of the millennials, just in the top end of the Z's. How
can't wait to get them off my health insurance. That's where I am.
But how has freedom in Christ and some of the heart transformation impacted your parenting? We didn't rehearse this question, everybody. So this is off the cuff. I'll give you a moment to think. I was a family pastor for 15 years, a youth and family pastor. And in my early years, I realized that one of my idols was appearance. How do people see me? How are they evaluating me based on what they see in my kids? Right? Because I'm the family pastor. I should know how to manage my kids. But you know what? My kids can tell whether I'm parenting them out of a heart's desire for their good, their growth, their faith walk with Christ, or out of selfish desires to be seen as a good pastor. Right? And so Christ got down into the depths of what I had to face in terms of my idols, be able to confess and repent of those and be more interested in their good than in my appearance, right? But how has the principles of freedom in Christ, the biblical principles, impacted you and your parenting?
Well, we actually break this down in one of the modules. So for a time being, you can get it for free, or if you wait, you're going to pay $40. But you know, here's what we know. We know that authoritative parenting yields the greatest results in raising our children up. Some people are negligent parents. Some people are permissive parents. Some people are authoritarian parents. But authoritative parents have a clear standard, and they support their children in the highest of ways when it comes to understanding what that standard is. And the way that we like to illustrate that, and the way we started with our kids, is by using the funnel principle. And when I was, I grew up in a very traditional, fundamental church. No fun, a lot of damn, very little mental. Anyway, I constantly heard the straight and narrow, the straight and narrow. You got to get on the straight and narrow. And I just thought, I don't think I can do that, right? And they were sort of taking that from a text that's in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is saying, broad is the pathway that leads to destruction, many there go by, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And it dawned on me one day, he's talking about a funnel. Like, you can go on the wide end of that funnel, and the longer you go in that direction, the more constricted your life gets, and you're going to get in bondage. Or if you come through the narrow end of that funnel, which is Jesus Christ, which is understanding God's righteousness, then over time, as you learn obedience and faith grows, the privileges and freedoms that are there in Christ opens up for you. And so with our kids, you know, when they were young, before they could even grasp the concept of God, we started introducing them to our core values as a family. What does it mean to be a Campbell? And we, you know, we would hold them, you know, to a standard of truth telling, because lying comes natural to children. We would hold them to a standard of self-control, because nobody had to teach me or my kids how to throw a fit. And we didn't do that in a way to impose behavior or legalism on them, because we knew that one day as they got older, it would really help them to grasp the story of God's grace. Because all you got to do is be guilty of one of those things, right? And you're separated from God. And the Bible goes further to even say, you're born a sinner. So it doesn't take you one sin to be separated from God. You naturally come into the world like that. So when we were able to just sort of keep massaging that idea with our kids, then when they had at different times in their life, they were young, an understanding of salvation, when that clicked, then you can merge that really quickly with the teaching of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. Behold, if any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. That old person is gone. Behold, God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might become the righteousness in Christ. And so there's this switch then of, okay, now, because of this identity that we've received, instead of trying to live from the outside in, we can begin to live from the inside out. And so that's just sort of a real high altitude view of, man, here's how the parenting, you know, it's really helped us in our parenting of our daughters.
Good. Yeah. And you're saying that's in the videos, and they can get more of that from the videos.
Yeah, we really try to unpack that, because, again, that's so helpful in helping a teenager who's been raised in a permissive home, or in our case here, a lot of negligence, or, you know, we all know that rules without relationships, you know, authoritarian, you know, breeds rebellion. And so we really try to unpack those concepts.
Yeah, I know that was critical to my parenting. I've got four kids. My girls are 23 and 21 in a month, and my boys are 17 and 15. And you know, Jesus said, all of our words, attitudes, and actions flow from the heart, right? And so we use our words, attitudes, and actions to diagnose what's going on in the heart. And what's the source of that? Is that the flesh or the spirit? And, you know, what's the source of the temptation to operate by the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil? You know, and so, but yeah, you talk about how to get to those heart issues, and then the outworking of that is then supernatural. It's of the spirit. A couple of questions have come in. One is for people who might be feeling a little bit overwhelmed right now, where might they want to start?
Well, overwhelmed because of the presentation or overwhelmed because of the teenagers that maybe they're, you know, where to begin with. These types of an overview is a bit like drinking out of a fire hose. So it's really condensed. So we do take our time. It's self-paced, you know. But I always say the place to start is with the two texts that are just the foundational, the pillars of this ministry, Victory Over the Darkness and the Bondage Breaker. Once those truths are personalized and internalized, then, you know, it's just really amazing how the Holy Spirit begins to unpack those in a way that not only helps us, but helps others appropriate. And that may sound like a, you know, an oversimplification of it, but that is just, you know, we take in the precepts of God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to build the principles on that. And over time, we fall in love with the person of God and you know, the way that the Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us. That may be too generic of an answer, but that's really what I would suggest.
No, that's good, because I think our love for the Lord, when it's contagious, this next generation wants to see what that's all about. And so I think as we continue to grow closer in harmony with the Lord through confession, repentance, walking in the light, walking in freedom, it impacts the next generation. And you know, I listed some questions that I got earlier from that 14-year-old who's not a believer. Well, go to gotquestions.org. They got answers, right? If a teen asks you questions you can't answer, one of the most valuable things you can do is say, I'm not sure of that, but let me look into it and get back to you. That authentic, honest answer will connect. They'll appreciate that, and they'll grow in trust for you. Another question, and then we'll have to wrap up due to the time here. Well, there's a number of comments about how, and I'll just whisper it. Well, I'll just say the listening devices in many people's rooms answered where Proverbs is. So when I was telling that about my wife's class the other day, so we're glad Siri and Alexa knows where Proverbs is. Another question came in. This will be our last one. In light of your work with youth and working on these materials, how can we be praying? You know, how should we direct our prayers for this next generation and the youth workers of today?
You know, that's such a great question. Whoever asked that, I just appreciate that so much. I think a lot of that, you know, does center on, let me start with this, and I'll be just as quickly as I can here as I'm verbally processing that. Over the last 2 days, you know, I have had, you know, people come into the clinic here and the needle, their emotional needle is redlining over what's happening. And we have a cardinal rule in here. When you step into a space, it's no judgment and you can be unfiltered. And sometimes that's really hard for me to listen to some of the things that are being spewed, you know, because you get it from both spectrums, and then you get it from a person that you never thought of their perspective on that. Mm-hmm. And it never fails, because I try to stay just really professional. After they finally wind down and they take a breath and they can't read me, they will ask, well, what do you think? What do you think about this? And I tell them the same thing. I said, what you have to understand as me, as a counselor, is I believe that literally one day Jesus Christ is going to return to planet Earth. And when he comes, there will be definitive righteous judgment with no turning back. We're not going to need corrections officers. We're not going to need law enforcement. We're not going to have any prisons. We're not going to have any jails, any courts or anything like that, because he will rule righteously. And I also believe that God is good and God is love. And so therefore it makes sense to me that God would want a harvest before this finality of judgment comes to set this world right. But in order for there to have a harvest, you got to have people's attention. And the only way to get people's attention is you've got to disrupt the things that people lean on to regulate their world. And I said, I'm not saying these are the last days, but 2020's been a pretty interesting year so far.
Yeah.
You know, and I share that just to say, how do you pray for this generation? I say, let's pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth harvesters into the field. And when we equip the tribal members of that Generation Z with not just an understanding of who they are in Christ, but the freedom to step into that with hearts of gratitude that are empowered by the Holy Spirit, then we're going to see a whole new level of social influencers that I think brings a great harvest into the kingdom before the return of Jesus Christ. So that's how I think we should pray.
Cool. Yeah, and as we know, being saved means being in Christ. And again, it comes back to that. If you're a child of God, you don't have to fear the judgment. You don't have to earn it. You have to receive it. And again, those students that I've talked with, they were so frustrated. They were so anxious. They were so stressed over trying to achieve it. Mm-hmm. And when we receive that by faith, the peace and the calm, the security, and then the stability from which to move from that point of acceptance, security, and significance to then go out and speak out into our world is phenomenal. So yeah, let's pray for workers to go out into the harvest. Let's pray that God removes the blinders that Satan has placed on the minds of the unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And let's pray that God grants them life, and that as their world, as the things they've leaned on have been disrupted, let's pray they find the one who is stable. We hear so much about that word pivot, right? We've had to pivot today. Everybody's had to pivot, make different changes to how we do life. But if you've ever watched basketball, they have a pivot foot that has to stay planted in a stable place. Jesus is our stable place. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's teach this next generation that he's their stable place too. Let me pray for you guys. Chris, how can we pray for you? Judy, one of our board members, said, how can we pray for you, Chris? Just a sentence or two.
I just want to go on record to say that I love Judy King very much.
Easy to do, yeah.
So I would be, you know, there's just really exciting times right now. And here's how you can pray for me. The Lord has opened very secular venues for me to step into and be a welcomed voice of faith. I won't go into the detail on that, but it puts me in a place to where if I don't have my armor on every day, if I'm not dialed in to who I am in Christ, if I'm not praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the warfare is great, and the opportunity to compromise is there. And so, you know, I want to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove, because God is allowing me to step into places and to, you know, to be a little bit of leaven in a bread that, you know, a loaf that I believe will spread out and many will come to the kingdom. So that's how you can pray for me.
Well, how about if I pray for you? Yeah, great job, Chris. Thank you all for being here. It is so good seeing all of your faces. Well, we wish it could be in person, but you know, we've had some suggestions as to other possibilities for chats like this that help us address issues of today. So watch for another opportunity to do this kind of thing soon. Let's pray. Father, we just dedicate all of this conversation to you. Lord, would you use it? Lord, help us not to be overwhelmed. God, you are a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet, and a light to our path. And so, Lord, help us just take the next right step. God, as we've seen in the comments, these ideas make a difference in men and women that work with students. God, we thank you for those like Mauro and Eileen who are working in university and high school with teenagers. I thank you for each person here and their love for students. I thank you for James and Melissa as they start a Freedom in Christ course for teens and others who weren't able to make it tonight because they had their first session. And Lord, we know that as we do what you've called us to do, that you bear fruit through us. Lord, help us just walk with you and trust you every step of the way. We thank you for Chris. We pray you'll bless him and Cynthia, their kids, the girls. Lord, bless them as a family. Bless his practice. Give him wisdom. Give him insight. And Lord, allow him to speak into people and organizations in ways that could only be attributed to your work through him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all.
God bless you all. It was a joy to see you.
It was great.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, Dan, is that the Presleys?